professional amateurs.
I'm so glad you asked.
I'll even tell them where I live. Like, you can come and have dinner with me or something. Off the rails.
Hoping to make you look stupid. I want to be unbiased, but I'm not.
Shane Wright.
Like, how stupid can you be?
Sorry, ruined. All right, uncut in 3, 2, 1, go. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 14 of Professional Amateurs. For the first time in at least 2 weeks, first time since the playoffs have started, the three of us are back together for a playoff edition of Professional Amateurs with Ryan, Jack, and myself. Yeah, long time no talk on the pod. How are you guys doing?
Not too bad. It's been a fun couple last days of the playoffs, and hopefully it only gets better into the second round. So yeah, I'm pumped to be back with the boys, and let's get into this.
What's up, Jack?
Good. How are you?
Are you having some technical issues right now?
Yeah, it tells me my camera won't fucking work, and I didn't want to leave and rejoin while you're doing the fucking intro.
So, oh yeah, okay, so just leave it as your name. It's probably better this way, honestly.
All right, great start.
Great start.
I wasn't going to bring it up. I was being a professional.
Yeah, so last week, Jack and I, when Ryan was... Where were you last week?
Halifax.
On Wednesday? Didn't we do it on
Wednesday? Well, I was prepping to leave.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So you were... Yeah, okay. We talked about how weird the first round had been and how the individual games were kind of brutal, but the series themselves were pretty awesome. In the week since, it's been some pretty elite hockey, I think. Some insane games in the series. 5 game 7s. I don't know if you guys want to, but I think I'd rather talk more about maybe previewing the second round or talking about some of the eliminated teams, but we can do a brief little first round sum up. Like, what were your guys' big takeaways from the first round?
I think for me, like the Tampa and Toronto series, it was just crazy to see how evenly matched those two were.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't get a chance to watch all the games, and I watched probably the first two because like the first couple were blowouts, right? And then it just progressively got closer and closer. And I think that was like the case for most of the series. Like, there was so many blowouts near the start, like I think you guys talked about on the last pod, but it was awesome to see the first round kind of go back to that typical playoff hockey where it's much closer. And I thought that Toronto and Tampa Bay was like a perfect example of that.
Yeah. Jack?
I guess if I have to pick one that stood out, I would just say the Penguins look like they're in shambles right now.
You think they're in shambles?
Yeah, like throw away a 3-1 series and what could have been their quote-unquote last dance with the big three. It was, I mean, I picked the Rangers, so I don't really care. But from a Pens perspective, I think it was a pretty rough one.
I also picked the Rangers, but as Pittsburgh got up 3-1, I was like, you know what? Sidney Crosby's not going to be around that much longer. I do not mind one more Penguins run with this core. But then, like, Louis Domingue ends up being the starting goalie. They probably, like, they should have won Game 7. They were the better team throughout. But Shesterkin just had such an unreal Game 7. So, obviously, the Rangers took it, but...
How did
everyone... While we're here, should we talk about the helmet pulled off?
Oh, yeah, we can do that, yeah.
I honestly... Okay, so I've seen, like, a huge... like, it's been all over my timeline, and I've read all about it and seen it, but I actually haven't seen the play. Like, what happened?
So I think it was last... I pulled off a guy's helmet, like, kind of in a scrum, how guys, like, wrestle during play.
Yep.
And because his helmet was off, he had to go to the bench, and that left his assignment open, and that's how they scored.
Oh, that's how Panarin scored?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I must have just completely missed that then, because I haven't even seen a video of it anywhere. Like, throughout this pod, if one of you guys, like, go on your phone and see it or something, just send it to me so I can see, but...
I think that's what Ryan's doing right now.
It seems that way.
Or he's looking at his toes and nodding.
No, or he's just ignoring us just like on TikTok.
I hadn't seen it yet either, so I went to go.
Yeah, okay, cool. I'm glad I'm not the only one because... like I've heard a lot about like this helmet situation and whatever, but I haven't actually seen the play. So okay, so Ryan just sent it to me. if I don't know if Jack has anything else to add, but I'm
don't watching. Put me on the spot, Pippen.
Oh wait, that doesn't even show the full play.
Okay, so what, like, do you guys want to actually talk about it? Because, like, I don't know, it looks like kind of Laf puts the guy in a headlock and his helmet comes off, which obviously is intentional and whatever. But, like, what are your guys' thoughts on that rule? Like, I think that it looked like it was Mike Matheson or Pettersson or something's son.
I think it was Pettersson.
I think he should be allowed to just Peterson. Pick up his helmet and stay on the ice.
He is.
You're allowed to do that?
The rule is you can pick up your helmet and put it back on, or you can leave the ice. You can't play without
it. Oh, okay. I thought the rule was that you have to go off.
Really? I thought it was you had to go off too.
Because otherwise, like, the helmet is right there. He could have easily grabbed it.
My understanding is you have the option to put it back on if you want.
Okay, well, I have less of an issue. Like, obviously, in the regular season, that's a penalty on Lafreniere for whatever you want to call it. But... like, I don't know, he could have easily picked up his helmet and just kept playing.
Yeah, the rule is you can pick it up.
Yeah, okay, so now all of a sudden I'm like, I have almost no issue with that. Like, obviously, it should be a penalty, but given NHL rules in the playoffs, it wasn't called a penalty, especially in a Game 7 overtime, nothing's going to get called. Mm-hmm. But, like, if Pettersson's able to pick up his helmet, then, like, you know what? Sucks to suck. Pick up your helmet. Don't get off the ice. That, in my opinion, is just lackadaisical by Pettersson.
And I think it could have been a lack of understanding the rule, too. Like, you see it a lot more, like, in the World Juniors with different rules and stuff. Guys don't know them.
Yeah.
It is possible that he wasn't aware of the rule. I haven't heard any comments from him, but... I think it was kind of just a panic situation. You don't want to give up the goal, obviously, but you also don't want to put them on a power play.
Do you want me to read out the rule?
Yeah.
A player on the ice whose helmet comes off during play shall be assessed a minor penalty if he does not exit the playing surface or retrieve and replace his helmet properly on his head with chin strap fastened within a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah, so he could have easily picked up his helmet. Like, it was right there. It's not like Lafreniere took his helmet and threw it. Like, they were behind the net and his helmet came off and then he skated away. Like, it wasn't in a moving action either. Like, they were kind of on the ground. Like Pettersson could have just remained seated for another second and a half, grabbed his helmet, threw it on his head, and continued playing.
Yeah.
But instead he, like, rushed off the ice in his own zone too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I care, to be honest. That's just on Pettersson. Like, I don't think that's
kind of like the stance I have too, is just kind of like deal with it. I think whether he knew the full extent of the rule or not, he made the wrong call, obviously, because it ended up in the back of the net.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he doesn't, he plays the puck and gets a penalty and they score on the power play, we're all ripping them anyways. Like, it's kind of a no-win situation.
Yeah, like,
but as you touched on, like, Laf gets a penalty for that in the regular season.
Yeah, in the regular season. But this is
the playoffs that everyone wants.
If Pittsburgh's complaining that that's a penalty in the same way that, like, Leafs fans are going crazy about the Justin Hall pick, then it's like, you know what? Cry me a river. It's Game 7 in overtime. It's not going to get called unless it looks like someone's trying to kill somebody, which is not what happened. And so, honestly, if I'm a Penguins fan, and even as a neutral fan, I'm more direct. Like, I'm directing the blame at Pettersson, not Lafreniere, on that play.
Yeah.
Like,
did you see Crosby's quote about it?
No.
He said that terrible rule ends up probably being the difference in the game.
What rule, though? He can pick up his helmet. He didn't have to go off the ice. And he, the rule is that you can't play without a helmet. It's not that you have to leave the ice.
Yeah.
So my understanding of the rule, by not seeing the play and not actually checking the rules, was that he has to leave the ice, similar to how if you break your stick, you either have to get off or get a new stick or play without a stick. Like, you can't use a broken stick, just like you can't keep playing without a helmet. And so that's when I was like, okay, it's Lafreniere's fault. It's whoever, because I didn't see the play. I didn't know it was Laf, but it's the Rangers' fault that his helmet was off. So, like, that's brutal. But Pettersson being allowed to pick up his helmet and keep playing, I have no issue now with it.
Yeah, I completely agree.
And I've seen quite a few like comments and stuff about how they should just be allowed to play without a helmet.
No, no.
Which I think is just ridiculous. Like it's
2022.
Obviously, like yeah. It sucks for the Penguins that their season ends on that. If he went and played the puck and fell and hit his head and cut it open, this is a very different story. Like it's,
or gets hit, like even the
yeah, like it's not about. It might only happen 1 out of 100 times, but that one is dangerous.
Yeah, you should be able to play without a helmet thing. That's ridiculous. Like that's no chance. And I don't think players even want. I saw a Nate Thompson tweet.
Yeah, like it's like Nate Thompson, Mark
players should be allowed to. Players should be allowed to play without a helmet, and I'm like, okay, do you speak for everyone? Because are you even in the league right now? Like,
just because your helmet was off for half your career.
Yeah, literally
sitting in the fucking box taking face-offs.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't have any issue if I ever get into a conversation with a Penguins fan, and I have a few Penguins fan friends on my Thursday night ball team, and they start complaining about that, I'm gonna be like, no, you can direct your anger towards Marcus Pettersson because that's
just send them the link to the pod and they can.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'll do. So I guess since we're on Rangers Penguins, what do you guys think this offseason looks like for Pittsburgh? They got a lot of shit they got to do.
I had a way cooler transition.
Okay, what is it?
Speaking of Crosby quotes, there's the alleged Crosby quote about Malkin in the tank getting low ball offers.
Yeah, he said they were like pathetic offers or something.
That was way cooler though.
Yeah, well, no, it was cooler, but I also can't see you, so I can't see if you're like trying to hop in or anything. So you kind of just got to speak up if you're gonna, especially if your camera's off.
I didn't know we were done. So like.
Well, like, how much
did you want to harp on? I didn't want to cut you off if you had another thing to say.
How much did you want to harp on the helmet thing, though?
I don't know. How long has it been?
It's
probably already been, like, double what we needed.
It's been too long. We're moving on.
That's what I'm saying. I was like, it's time to move on. So, like, let's
briefly talk. That's what editing is for.
Let's briefly talk about Pittsburgh's offseason. So, like, what do you guys think happens this offseason?
I can honestly see one of Malkin and Letang not coming back.
I think Letang is going to cash out. I think he's going to get, because what is he making? Like 7.8 or something? Just based off of memory, I'm pretty sure that's what he's making. Let me just check. But let's just go with 7.8. I think he's getting 8+ because he had such a good year on a short-term deal.
Yeah, someone will overpay him. Stupid.
So he was making 7.25. I thought he was at like 7.75. So Letang at 7.25. 35, I bet you he gets a 3-year deal, and I bet you that AAV comes in at 8 or higher.
I would not be surprised if that happens, or even like a 2 years, 9 mil.
Yeah, something wild, like low short term, high AAV.
Like like a team loaded on entry level contracts can just waste the money on them.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's a well known fact too that the Seattle Kraken are going big game fishing for defense in UFA this year.
They should look at a goalie too.
Yeah, they should, but they won't because they're committed.
They can't. Like, they've got Grubauer and Driedger signed at 10 combined.
Yeah, but
for like two more years.
On 32 Thoughts yesterday, they were saying how Seattle could definitely be a landing point for either him or Klingberg. They think they're going to go hard.
Yeah, I think I've also seen that rumor a lot. Klingberg, that makes a lot more sense. And I would care a lot less because I don't. Like whatever. Yeah. I don't want to see Letang go to Seattle.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty lame.
But if he's looking to cash out and Seattle just wants to throw money at people.
That's probably what they're gonna do. They shouldn't, but I bet you that's what they do. What were you trying to say there, Jack?
No, I was just gonna say, like, where do you think Letang could go?
Give me a sec here. So somewhere short Montreal. No.
Everyone's been saying that about him and Bergeron. It's so fucking stupid just because they're French.
I think it's more of a joke than people actually being serious.
It's a joke for like some people, but some it's not.
Bergeron shut it down yesterday too.
And he has several times before.
Yeah.
I think if Letang goes somewhere, it's probably out west. I don't know. I can't really think of it. Like, I don't have a team off the top of my head, which kind of sounds like a bit of a cop out. If one of you guys have a team in mind, go for it. I'll think of one while you're
talking. It depends how the rest of the year goes and like finding the money, but Edmonton would be a fit, I feel like.
I don't think they'll have the money.
I don't think, like I said, I don't think it'd be hard to make it work, but he would be a better Tyson Barrie.
Yeah. Actually, so kind of where I'm at is I think Letang stays in Pittsburgh. I think Malkin's gone. Because, like, you know, that 3x5 thing for Malkin and Letang, that's a low ball for Letang, but, like, I don't think Malkin's is, like, I wouldn't give Malkin $7 million a year.
Yeah, like but NHL GMs will.
NHL GMs will, but I wouldn't. And, like, you know he'll get it for legacy, but he didn't look very good in the playoffs.
And he's been beaten up, like,
that too. He's had, significant injuries. So I think I was texting Ryan about this. I would prioritize Letang, Brian Rust over Malkin.
Oh, absolutely.
I would agree with that, but yeah. I think all three are gone.
You think all three are gone?
Yeah.
So, excuse me. So Letang's 7.25, Malkin's 9.5, and Rust's, I think, 3, maybe 3.5.
I think 3.5.
Is Rust UFA too?
Yeah.
So, oh my God.
So those three guys combined is $20 million in cap space. You don't think they can keep one or two?
Like money wise, they can, but I just don't think they will.
Can you imagine the outrage?
Like, it's not the case of them walking because there isn't the money. It's more so them walking to better opportunities.
Where is there a better opportunity? They also have Kapanen as an RFA. That's 3.2. Ricard Raquel's UFA. Danton Heinen and Evan Rodriguez. Who else is off the books? Nathan Beaulieu, whatever. Casey DeSmith's UFA. And they have Jack Johnson dead cap hit $2 million for the next 5 years. It's only $1 million. $2 million next year. So that they're gonna have cap space. It's just that they have these really good players out the door. Like, what do you think Brian Rust gets?
He'll get something stupid like what Blake Coleman got, I think.
I think, like, what did Coleman get? Like 6x5? 6 years, $5 million? Something like that. Like 4.9, I think it was.
Yeah.
I could see Rust coming in around there, maybe even higher.
I think that's like a player style fit, like, to those guys that came out of Tampa.
And plus, Brian Rust has been, like, point a game for the past few years, so he could even – I could
honestly – And, like, a playoff performer.
Yeah. I could honestly see, like, his contract maybe flipping, like, 5x6, 5 years, $6 million a year. And if I'm Pittsburgh, I give that to him. I would also maybe explore trading or getting rid of Jason Zucker somehow. That's 5.5 for a guy who can't stay healthy. But they have a ton of cap space, but they also have some big names coming off the books. Like, you'd think Malkin's next contract comes in lower, so there's some room. If they keep him at all, that's $10 million, 9.5. Jeff Carter, 2 years times 3.125. That's tough. He looked really bad at the end of the year.
And that's the rough comp where if they gave that and then won't give Malkin whatever, 6, then.
Like, why do you – like, I don't really understand. NHL GMs are so weird. Like, why are you giving Jeff Carter a multiple-year extension during the season?
Yeah, what risk was there?
I that didn't make sense even at the time when that was signed. I was like, what? Now he's going to be 39 when it happens and he's making 3. Like, that's just not
like
good.
Even if this offseason came and he was like, I'm not coming back. He'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
you got 25 more of you.
You got a year and a half and 2 playoff runs out of him. And I don't even know what they gave up. It definitely wasn't anything significant. They got him from LA. But I don't know. Anything else on Pittsburgh from you guys?
Shout out Tristan Jarry playing with a broken foot.
Yeah. Elliot Friedman on 32 Thoughts was talking about how Flurry to Pittsburgh is kind of a thing that both parties are, like, there hasn't been any tampering, but both parties are kind of aware that each one wants each other. What would you guys think of that? I think that'd be so cool.
I'm kind of warming up to it, although it'd be weird if the other core guys leave Crosby and then Flurry comes back.
Yeah, true. yeah.
I don't know. I think it'd be cool, like, good for him if it happens, but I don't know. Pittsburgh's going downhill.
So. Yeah, okay, that's the last thing. Do you guys think Pittsburgh's kind of done?
Oh, yeah.
Pittsburgh. I think so.
Can you guys see Crosby ever playing for a different team?
No.
I can't imagine it, but it might need to happen.
That's how I meant to phrase the question. Like, do you think it happens, and do you want it to happen?
unless he desperately wants another cup, I don't think it happens.
I don't even think it's necessarily would be about the cup. Like, he's got three rings. He doesn't really need it from yeah, that perspective. Like, he's not chasing his only ring like Joe Thornton. But I just think he's a guy who wants to play meaningful games.
Yeah, I don't know. Just like you said, he has three cups with Pittsburgh. I can see him wanting to stay there and cement his career as a Penguin. But
he's just like such a hard worker and like clearly cares so much about the game. I can't picture him being out of the playoff race by the 40th game and not being upset.
And if he just had another head injury too, like, you never know how much longer he's got. So
very true.
It'd be so sick. Like, imagine the locker room boost bringing him in to be a second line center, assuming a team that acquires him is a really good team with a really good number one center. Maybe Crosby would be the best center on the team, but he'd probably come into like a second line center role because you'd think he'd probably be 36, 37 years old when that happens.
Okay, hear me out. McKinnon, Crosby, Kadri, 1, 2, 3.
Paul Bissonnette has actually floated that. He floated that out at the start of the year, Crosby to the Avs.
All right, do we want to move on from
Yeah, this? I would this definitely like to effect. Move on. I was ready to move on before Jack mentioned that, but all right, where do you want to go now? Let's go. What other series ended over the weekend? Boston, Carolina. Carolina took it in 7. How do you guys think Boston goes about this offseason?
Praying? Yeah, they need a lot of fucking help.
Yeah, hopefully. Like, I don't know. Bergeron looked like he was, like, hugging all his teammates. Those
hugs on the way out. Like, he's such a locker room guy, so I don't want to read into it. Like, he could have just been giving each guy, like, you know, you never have the same team 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
But it looked like he's done.
But even his locker room clean out day or day interview, it was like just his comments were like, oh my God, he definitely seems like he's leaning to not coming back. But I don't know.
Pasternak's also a UFA after next season. So he's going to get a shit ton of money. Like, that's going to be a huge contract.
That's going to be at least Panarin level.
Yeah. I think that's going to be 11 to 12 potentially. Yeah. If he wants it, like, who knows with Boston and their contract extension history, but yeah, they've got some work to do this off season. The D is good. The goalie's good. But that forward group, especially if Bergeron leaves, is thin.
And they have nobody really coming up.
You're going into next season with Eric Halla as your top line center if Bergeron retires.
They also have to sign UFA Curtis Lazar.
There it is. Boston's
and Josh Brown.
Ryan just searching for sends on Cap Friendly.
Okay, I wasn't gonna bring up another send, but Josh Brown's hilarious.
No, that is very funny. I'm glad you brought it up. But yeah, Boston definitely looks like a team that could take a step back next year. Obviously, I think anybody thinking that has a very good chance of eating their words, but I don't know.
I think the Atlantic is already such a tough division, and like Montreal, Ottawa, Buffalo, Detroit are all on the up.
For sure. Calgary, Dallas, a wagon of a series, despite the first 6 games being so boring. Game 7, insane game. I actually fell asleep for the whole third period, but woke up at the beginning of overtime and stayed up.
You did not insane, man.
Well, like, overtime was insane. And like, I meant more from like a Jake Ottinger perspective. Like, I don't know. What did you guys think of that series?
I thought it was pretty cool. Markstrom in the handshake line. Like, the goalies is always a special moment in the line. But it was pretty cool.
Jake Ottinger has next. Like, he's the next. He's going to... Oh, my God.
What was it? 60... How many saves in one overtime? Like, I also fell asleep fully. But
I didn't watch it.
67 shots in 4 periods. Well, like,
yeah,
3.5 periods.
Yeah, it's absurd.
When your own team only had 28.
Yeah.
Like, you got more than doubled for 3.5 periods.
The fact that that game not only got to game 7, but overtime in that game, like, when the other team has like 40 more shots. It's ridiculous. Ugh.
Like, honestly, it almost got to the point, like, I wanted the Battle of Alberta so bad. But it got to the point where I was like, oh my God, I kind of want to see Jake Oettinger do this. But like,
three more rounds of it, just keep riding them.
No, just the series even. Like, that would be legendary. It already was legendary. Like, 67 shots and three, and like, not even getting through one overtime. That's absurd. And like, Dallas is just not that good of a team. They have a great core, but everything around it is just so like boring. And
they have a lot of decisions to make this offseason too.
Like who?
A lot of tied up money.
Radulov is a UFA.
Oh, he's gone.
Gurianov is an RFA. Oettinger is an RFA. Sikera is a UFA. Klingberg's a UFA. Raffles a UFA. Nemestikov's a UFA. And Robertson is an RFA. So
Robertson's gonna get paid. Well, how's Oettinger? What's Ottinger's situation? You just said it. He's RFA. Okay, what kind of... Okay, this is what I wanted to get to for this one, because we've talked Robertson in the past. What's Oettinger getting? Are you guys going... Like, are you giving him a legitimate contract, or are you giving him more of, like, a bridge?
I'd give him, like, a Jordan Binnington, like, 6x6, I think it is, or give or take.
Yeah, I think that would honestly be a perfect situation, because... I hate going long-term big money for goalies unless you're 100% sure. But at the same time, you just saw what he can do for you in the playoffs.
Yep.
I feel like you got to take a shot. You know him better than anyone else.
And the important thing, too, is he's young and he was drafted high. Like, if this isn't Louis Domingue coming in for a third string, having a career series.
Goalies are
like
such...
He had the precedent.
Goalies are such voodoo too. Like, you never know. So if you get one that's really solid and like it looks like he's going to be for the next how many years, I feel like you gotta lock that up.
And if you give him like a 2-year bridge, then you're looking at Price Bobrovsky money potentially.
Yeah.
After that.
And you're fucked, man.
Like, it's kind of crazy. The guy wasn't even in the NHL at the start of the year, and now he's in that sort of franchise goaltending tier in terms of age and ability. Like, he's probably not a top five goalie yet, like what you would consider a franchise goalie, but he's at that age where his age combined with his playing ability has him in that franchise goaltending tier, which is really cool, because I don't know, Dallas really rebuilt their team in one draft. Eiskanen and Robertson and Oettinger in one draft, in the top 39 picks or whatever, which is insane. Edmonton, LA, another one where it would have been pretty lame if one team, I think it would have been super lame if LA won. A team that I definitely think is ahead of schedule and definitely has an interesting offseason ahead of them. Not because they have a lot of players that can leave, but more because of how much they could potentially bring in if they elect to go in that direction. What are you guys' thoughts on LA going into the offseason?
I think they take a massive swing.
Think so?
Like Philip Forsberg.
That's okay. That's the name I had in my head too. Jack, what do you think about LA?
I think if you can add like a big money free agent like that, go for it. I don't think they're at a point where they need to really accelerate it. Trade prospects for guys now, like kind of stay the course, make an ad, but they're on the right path. They don't need to do anything crazy.
They've got Dustin Brown coming off the books. Athanasiou's a UFA. Adrian Kempe, he'll get a big deal. He's RFA. Brandon Lemieux, Gabriel Vilardi, Elias Pettersson. Those are their three RFAs. Elias Anderson, not Pettersson. Edler's a UFA, Oli Mata's a UFA. Holy crap, their playoff D was pretty brutal. Like beyond Doughty, I think Sean Walker's pretty good. Sean Durzi's gonna get a nice raise. Nice piece from the Muzzin trade. They've got a lot of players that need deals, but I don't know if any of those deals are gonna break the bank. So I think I'm on board with maybe going after a big free agent or trying to make a trade.
I'm also on board of them just letting some of those UFAs walk out the door and promoting the they're milling prospects.
Yeah, that's the other thing too, is like at what point, if so many prospects, even not even in the NHL yet, like at what point do you sort of give them legitimate roles? Because Quinton Byfield, I get it, he's 19, but he played a very sheltered role since he's come to the NHL this season. And like Alex Turcotte hasn't really gotten a shot yet, I think anyway. They have so many like guys that are considered blue chip that haven't really shown it yet due to the fact that this is a playoff team. So yeah, it'll definitely be interesting, because it's not like Kopitar is still there, Dano is still there. So like, do you go into next year with Quinton Byfield as your third line center? And like, how many minutes does that mean? Do you take some minutes away from Kopitar to maybe rest him a little more so that Byfield can really get a shot to excel? Stuff like that will be really interesting.
I know there's only a few minutes left in this meeting, but do you guys want some breaking news in the middle of the pod?
Yeah, what's happened?
It's not crazy news, but the Selke finalists came out.
Okay.
Barkov, Bergeron, and Lindholm.
Did any of us have Barkov?
I don't think I did.
I don't think so. I think normally he's like a Selke write-in, but he only played – he missed 15 games this year. I think that's why I didn't pick him. Jack, do you remember your picks? I think I had those two, Bergeron and Lindholm, and Cirelli. I didn't have Barkov.
Yeah, you had Cirelli.
Yeah, I think we all had the same top two, and then I had Matthews as my three.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Ryan, do you remember who your third was?
Yeah, I had Kopitar.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Selke's such a weird award. I just kind of take everyone's word for it and be like, yeah, hey, these are the guys that are always nominated. I'm going to choose those and go off the wall with one other one.
We literally talked about that in the pod that we like gave our award winners. We're like, yeah, this one, we definitely had to lean on professional opinion.
Oh yeah, for sure. All right. So that's all Toronto Tampa for freak's sakes.
We only got 3 minutes.
Yeah. I feel like
we, okay. Might, yeah. Let's end this one and we'll do Toronto Tampa in the next one.
All right.
All right. We're back. And let's get to the final series that ended over the weekend. We've got Toronto Tampa, in my opinion, probably the most, I don't want to say important, but the most paid attention to series of the first round for obvious reasons. You've got the 2-time defending champions against the Leafs, and Tampa came out on top. It was kind of a weird vibe after the series. Because the last 2 years, Toronto lost to Montreal and Columbus, and they completely blew it. But this year, they just got beat, plain and simple. Like, they didn't blow it. They just couldn't beat Tampa, just like no one has been able to for the last 2 years. And so it's kind of a weird vibe going into the offseason, I think, for the Toronto Maple Leafs. What are you guys thinking?
Yeah, I think there was definitely a sense of before this season, if it didn't work, you got to blow it up or do something significant. But now it's like you were that close.
Yeah.
And it's not for a matter of you weren't good enough. I don't know. You're right. It's a different weird vibe. I personally don't think they should do anything too significant and they should run it back for one more year. But I can also see how people are like, okay, you've tried this long enough.
It's one of those things where everyone was saying like, if what happened, like they got bounced in the first round, if that happens, blow it up, do something huge. Because I think everyone was expecting that if they did lose in the first round again, it'd be their own fault, but it wasn't their own fault. They just lost to a team that hasn't lost in the playoffs in multiple years. And so I think everyone's kind of switching up their takes on, oh shit, we weren't expecting this to be the way that they got bounced. Maybe we need to rethink our approach to whether or not they lose in the first round again. Jack, what are your general takeaway from the Leafs going into the offseason?
First of all, shout out me. On the pod for Ryan and I described the Leafs Tampa series prediction, and almost a direct quote, paraphrasing, I said a heartbreaking game 7 loss for the Leafs. So, fucking smart guy here.
I think a lot of people had that though. Like, I no. think a lot, no, I think so.
Both you guys had them winning. Those are the only opinions I will be considering.
Did I choose Toronto? I thought I took Tampa.
I don't know, maybe.
I'll check. But I think after game, like after they were just alternating games. Oh no, I did take Toronto over Tampa in seven. All right, respect to you.
Haha, idiot.
The way the series was going, though, I think like mid series, a lot of people were like, "Okay, they're gonna trade games," and then Tampa's taking this in seven. Like,
yeah, but I had it first.
Yeah, you okay? Yeah, you were definitely you had it first.
I'm trying to take this from.
But like, what's your?
Oh, Ryan stormed off.
He's upset.
He fucking booked it.
It looks like he fell, like his chair collapsed or something.
No, he just sprinted away.
I could hear my mom coming to my door. I had to intercept.
Okay. But Jack, like, Jack, you called the series, but what's your big sort of takeaway from the series? Like, where do you think Toronto goes from here?
No, I we were all discussing it before the episode, and as Ryan touched on, like, I think running it back is the play. They've got a really good group there, and they need some tweaking, but I think Keefe is the right coach for them. Dubas is the right GM. And you look at like a team like Tampa, how many years did they underachieve with that Stamkos core?
Yeah.
And now they're nine straight series and two cups later. Like, as tempting as it is to go and do big blowups and big changes and make that superstar for superstar hockey trade, it's not really how it works in the NHL. They've got some good prospects. They just signed two of them and just keep building up through their own system, I think is the right play. It sucks. They can't really do that for too long because of Toronto and the media in there, but
I think a huge reason for all of the reaction is obviously Leafs fans are sick of it. They want to see a team succeed in the playoffs. But I think all of the big takes about trading someone and making a huge trade is because the Raptors did it a few years ago and won a championship.
And the Jays did it, got good.
Yeah, and they went on playoff run by making a bunch of big trades at a deadline. And so I think that's where all the pressure comes from. But if you ignore the exterior, like leagues that don't matter to the NHL, if you only look at the NHL, teams don't win at the start. Washington took like 15 years to get a cup with Ovechkin. Crosby was quicker, but they only got one for the first like 11 years of his career.
And then they stayed the course and got two more.
It took Steven Stamkos 10 years to win a cup. Like Tampa took so many cracks at the playoffs before finally breaking through. And now they're this mini dynasty. So I think I agree. Like
Tampa had some ugly ones too.
They missed the playoffs in 2017. I think that was a huge injury year, but still.
And like the one cup final, I think it was Hedman and Bishop collided and gave up like an empty net goal. Like it was ugly.
I think they lost to Chicago in 15 in the final.
Yeah.
What's up, Brian?
Oh, nothing.
Oh, I thought you were gonna chime in there. So okay. As we say that, you're both Kyle Dubas. You'll take turns being Kyle Dubas. What's the biggest move you make
this? Mom, it's my turn to be Kyle Dubas.
What's the biggest move you make this offseason? It doesn't have to be big, but what's the most significant thing you do if you're Kyle Dubas? Assuming he keeps his job, which I think it'd be crazy if he didn't.
I get a new goalie.
You don't go with Jack Campbell?
If he's willing to stay for cheap enough, I would do, but I wouldn't give him starter money.
Apparently, like, they offered him 3x2.75, like towards the end of the regular season. I think he maybe made back a couple million, maybe like one or two on his cap in the playoffs, because I think he played really well besides like one game, which tanked his goals against and save percentage and whatever. But he went shot for shot with Vasilevsky. And even though Vasilevsky didn't have a good series either, that says a lot.
I just think he's very unproven. And as volatile as goalies are, he's been even more so. Like I would give him like 3.5 to 4 mil, but I wouldn't give him six.
If I'm able to get rid of Mrazek, I'm giving there's a cat in Jack's background.
It's okay, we have cats. It's not no, just someone else.
That hasn't happened yet, so I thought it was funny. If you're able to offload Mrazek, like this cat's gonna be such a distraction.
Mrazek, I feel like, is dead set. He's going to Arizona.
If he's gone, I'm giving Campbell his money and trying to bring in someone to be a tandem with Campbell, because I don't think you can replace Jack Campbell. I don't think any of the options that are going to become available, unless you can somehow get Marc-Andre Fleury at like under four, Darcy Kemper, I guess, but he's going to get a raise. Like he's going to get a bunch of money, and Colorado
probably Leonard, we talked Leonard, about
if he wants out, but that's $5 million. I don't think Toronto can afford $5 million.
Five's not bad though for a starting goalie. Yeah, but
I don't think Toronto has that luxury.
Ditch Mrazek and lose Campbell. You're half almost there.
Like, yeah, but that like I don't. Jack, Ryan, what do you think? Or are you muted because of your like? Are you good?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I was going to go in a different direction than the goaltending, but I think if you have a chance to run it back with Jack Campbell, you do, because I'm, like you said, I'm not sure how much out there is worth taking a risk based on what you already know with Jack Campbell. So, but the other way,
how much like would you give him six if he's looking for a payday?
Six, I think, is too much, but I think that Jack Campbell, he is the type of guy who would absolutely take a cut to stay with the group. But we'll see what the negotiations go. Like, what do you think he's realistically worth?
On the open market, he could get six easy because NHL GMs be like that.
Yeah. Anyways, the other big direction I was going to go, just to put a bold take out there. It's not really a bold one because Elliot Friedman has kind of floated it too. But I think they trade for Tyler Bertuzzi. Somehow, some way, they make it happen.
He makes a lot of money too, though.
He makes 4.75.
Oh, I thought he was at 5.7.
No.
Detroit, are you looking at it right now, or are you telling me? Oh, maybe it's Vrana who's 5.7.
Yeah, I'm telling you that Tyler Bertuzzi is 4.75, and I think they make it
happen somehow. What is he 4.75 next year too?
Yeah, he's 4.75 for the next 2 years.
Ooh.
Oh, wait, no, sorry, next year, just next year.
What, Jack?
It like there was rumors that he's asked out of Detroit. That just seems so weird.
Plus, he's not vaxxed. Like, you got to get that figured out before you bring him in.
That's true.
That's a huge thing.
I love the player and the play style, though. Like, that would be a great fit for Toronto.
That'd be pretty sick.
Yeah, they've apparently been after him since, like, not this past trade deadline, but the one before that. And I think he would be the perfect top six forward with some edge to insert into that lineup, but. You're right. You got to figure out the vax situation first, and maybe that just X's the whole trade.
Can we circle back to the goalies just for a sec? I like when you switched it over to the Bertuzzi thing, I was looking up free agent goalies. Mm-hmm. So going into this offseason, the top UFA goalies, I'm going to give up to Jack Campbell. So it's the top eight goalies by salary this past season. So Marc-Andre Fleury, Mikko Koskinen, Darcy Kemper, Thomas Greiss, Jonas Korpisalo, Martin Jones, Braden Holtby, Jack Campbell. If you're able to get rid of Peter Mrazek, which I think is really close to the top of the list for Toronto, if I'm Kyle Dubas, I'm keeping Jack Campbell. If I can get him at 3.5 at the max, I'm doing it. And I'm maybe targeting one of those guys on a 1 year or 2 year deal at a similar AV, maybe under three. Like, I think you can get a Braden Holtby under $3 million. He was at two this past year. Or if you can get a solid backup, like I'm looking at Casey DeSmith, like that'd be a good backup for Jack Campbell. Like, Mrazek just wasn't reliable, and you don't want Eric Schalgren as your backup. I just think
Jake Allen would be a good fit.
Jake Allen too. I think, would that have to be a trade?
Yeah, but yeah. He's cheap. He's only like 2.7 or something.
Yeah, he is cheap. But I think Jack Campbell is your guy, because I don't think you're going to get a better goalie than Jack Campbell, again, unless you get Robin Leonard, but I just don't think Toronto can afford that unless Mrazek's going the other way. I think Jack Campbell and a really good, reliable backup goalie is your play. And so Campbell plays like 45, 50 games, and your backup gets the rest kind of thing. That's how I would approach the net if I'm Toronto. But yeah, I just wanted to touch on that, give an idea, because the goalie market is not strong going in the offseason.
I definitely keep an ear out for Robin Leonard, though. Like, if he does want out, that would be a great fit.
But I also kind of think that the Leafs for Leonard is a bad fit. Like, from Leonard's perspective, good in Toronto. Really, with that market?
I think so.
It'd be interesting.
Yeah,
there'd be a lot of stories because he's so open, but at the same time, being open makes him stronger, I think.
Fair. But yeah, like the goalie market is tough this offseason, and like just the free agent market. So goalies, Ryan mentioned Bertuzzi. Is there a player like a significant player you'd give up to get Bertuzzi, or is there a separate player that you'd give up in a different trade? Like, you're like, are either of you trading away from the core? No.
No, I don't think you trade the core, but in a Bertuzzi trade, you definitely have to have money going out the door.
Like, is that a, is that finally where Kerfoot gets the kick, or?
Yeah, I'm just pulling up Toronto's cap friendly here, taking a look.
Jack, what about you?
I'd be willing to move Nylander for Bertuzzi.
Really?
Not like, not straight up, but
yeah, I think you're getting worse if you do that.
Well, you're going to get other pieces, I think. And I think that's the exact, like, everyone's talking about Nylander's too soft in the corners. That's the direct fit.
We think Mikheyev's gone, right?
Well, yeah, he's gone as free agent.
Yeah, so that's 1.645 off the books. Yeah, it might just be, it might have to be Kerfoot, because that would almost exactly, a little bit more between Mikheyev and Kerfoot gone, that would be enough.
And also, Sandin and Liljegren are going to get raises. I don't know how much, yeah, but they're both RFA.
Like, is Gio gone too? Because that's 3.375.
If he comes back, I think if he
comes back, it'll be like the minimum expenses would go.
You think it'd be the minimum?
Or close to. Like, I don't think they can bring him back at a significant hit.
I'd bring him back at 2. Like, if he's willing to go 2 or less, I'd give that to him in a heartbeat. He's good.
If it was only 1 year, I'd do 2.
Yeah.
Lyubushkin's also up.
Yeah, I think he's gone. He got a lot of slack. He didn't look very good next to Riley in the playoffs.
Kasha needs a new contract, and so does Engvall.
I've seen Kasha's gone just because he's so injury prone. I would bring Engvall back. He's a good player. But again, like, what do these rate? Like, do these guys get raises? It's gonna be so interesting.
Yeah,
I don't know. Do you guys, are you guys touching the D? Like, do you get rid of one of those big ticket D? Obviously not Morgan Riley, but like, I think I've floated to Jack, like, I'd be looking to get rid of Muzzin.
Yeah, yeah. I would be fine with letting one or even two, like, somehow getting rid of one or two that were even there, and just have Sandin and Liljegren, like, corner, or not corner stops, but, like, elevate them to bigger roles, because I feel like, I don't know how old they are off the top of my head, but it feels like they've been there forever, those two, Sandin and Liljegren.
Yeah, Sandin's 22, Liljegren's 23. They're both NHL defensemen. The fact that they were not in the lineup in favor of Justin Hall was crazy to me. I also think Justin Hall's gone. Like, I think they'll be able
to. One of Muzzin or Brody would be nice.
I would really try hard to get rid of Muzzin.
I think it's the tougher of the two, but it's the more beneficial.
Yeah. But I think there's a market for both of them. With Muzzin, you might not
get... I still come back to the fact that, like, it's the Leafs and nobody wants to help them.
True. Very true. Yeah, it's definitely going to be an interesting offseason. I don't think they'll do anything crazy, but you never know. Elliot Friedman floated out, this might be Kyle Dubas' summer of Kawhi, like what Masai Ujiri had a few years ago. So it'll be interesting to see. Definitely, as per usual, a team to watch in the offseason. So that's it for teams eliminated over the weekend. Do you guys want to maybe, we can go over our first round predictions and maybe discuss some second round stuff. See, like, we don't have to go in depth on any series, but we can maybe give our picks, our second round picks.
Yeah.
Okay. So I had Toronto over Tampa in 7, wrong. I had Carolina over Boston in 6. I got that one, but not the right games. This is going to be really...
I would just do, like, what we got wrong.
Yeah, okay, let's do that instead. And let's not talk about the games. The games is annoying. So I
had them winning game 1, losing game 2.
I hit every series except for I had Toronto over Tampa in 7. So I was 7 for 8.
Yeah, I think I did the worst out of the three of us. I went 5 for 8. I had Toronto over Tampa in 7. I had Boston over Carolina in 6. And I had Minnesota over St. Louis in 7.
Yeah, and I had Boston and Minnesota winning their series.
Hmm. Nice.
Both I had losing in the second round anyway. So
okay, so do you guys want to give second round picks for, like, given the second round field, or do you want to give our second round picks from, well, actually, I don't know if I filled out a full bracket. I think I just gave my first round picks. Let's just give what we think for this, like, the actual real life second round, what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Who you guys got?
In what series?
Okay, Florida, Tampa. Who do you guys got?
Florida.
Tampa.
See, this, I think Florida is going to take it. I think they figured out how to win towards the end of that series with Washington.
Tampa also looks kind of shambles.
They do.
If points out and Kucherov looks, I don't know what's going on with Kucherov, but
he looked really bad.
Yeah.
He just didn't really look like Kucherov, which is weird though, because he had 8 points in 7 games. So, like, it's the same production, but
then again, playoff Vasi, so you never know.
That too. So Vasilevskiy had a tough series against Toronto and they still won. It'll be interesting to see how Vasilevskiy does in this next series.
I think he's got a good chance to kind of pay it back and take the offense.
I could see this series being like over similar to Dallas Calgary, maybe not to this as much of an extent, but I could see Florida really outplaying Tampa, but Vasilevskiy going playoff Vasi mode.
Yeah.
And Tampa just used to the moment, finish off what chance they get.
That's kind of how I want this series to go. I think that would make it the most I think that's the most entertaining path for this series to take, is for Vasilevskiy. I love when goalies just go insane in the playoffs. Like, I think it's the most entertaining thing. Seeing a team overwhelm its opponent, but the goalie just stand on his head. I love it. Carolina Rangers.
Rangers.
I had Rangers over Boston. I'll take Rangers over anyone.
Yeah, I'm really high on the Rangers. I had them going to the Cup final. Plus, I really want a Vasilevskiy-Shesterkin Eastern Conference final. I think that'd be so cool. Yeah, I've got Rangers. I think it's going to be another example of, I think Carolina's going to overwhelm the Rangers, similar to how Pittsburgh overwhelmed the Rangers. And Shesterkin steals a few games, and they get some clutch scoring from their big boys.
I just don't believe in Carolina. I always bet against them. I don't know.
Yeah, they're, I don't know. It's weird. They're just such a good team, but they don't have that guy that you just look at and be like, let's go Carolina. You know what I mean?
And it's totally on me for disrespecting them, but like every single time they come up and they don't like excite me.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Colorado, St. Louis.
Colorado.
Colorado.
Yeah, I think that one's, I don't think that one's even going to go, I don't think that one's going to go.
I think that'll be the easiest of the second round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, Colorado looks so good in that first round.
So good.
Man, like, Cale Makar, dude, like 10 points in 4 games. Oh, God. And finally, the one I'm most excited for, Calgary, Edmonton.
That's going to be a fucking bloodbath.
Oh my God. It's going to be so good.
I'm so excited. I got Calgary.
I still have Calgary in it.
I kind of want to just switch it up and go Edmonton. I don't know. McDavid, oh my God. That game 7 against LA, like, yeah, that might have been the most impressive game I've ever seen a player play.
If we are finally getting playoff McDavid, it could be scary.
Like, in basketball, a player can win you a game and a player can win you a series. It's never really happened in hockey. McDavid won game 7. Like, he played 27 minutes and scored an insane goal. And
yeah, set like up the one other. On four.
Yeah. Like, he won that game for Edmonton. He took over the game, and you don't really see that. So I'm going to go Edmonton just to maybe switch things up. And just cause I have I think McDavid's going to go nuts. Like, he had 14 points in 7 games in the first round. I think he's going to do similar, if not better. Like, I think we're looking at a legendary playoff run for Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers. Do you guys have anything else on that series?
I just think their goaltending lets them down. Calgary's forwards are flying high.
And Mike Smith has kind of been good, though. He
was so good.
I don't trust them for a series.
Have you? There's no way I'm going to be able to find it now, but there was
a 938 save percentage in the first round. Sorry to cut you off there, Ryan.
No, it's fine, because I don't really know where I'm going with it, because there's no way I'm going to be able to find it. But it was like, It was like he has like a 950 something save percentage in playoff games over a certain period of time or something. It's crazy.
Mike Smith?
Yeah, like apparently he's a very good playoff performer.
Oh yeah, Mike Smith is a thing. Like that's been a thing since I think they played like when they were Phoenix, because he played for Phoenix. It was him versus LA, and like I want to say 2012, because that's when LA won their cup. It was Jonathan Quick.
Yeah, I think they were the conference final.
Oh yeah, that's right. It was Mike Smith and Jonathan Quick. Oh yeah, that was a weird era for the Coyotes.
Being good is a weird era for the Coyotes.
It is. It literally is. Remember when they acquired Taylor Hall at a deadline and then COVID hit?
I love all the fucking people saying Matthews is going to go play at ASU.
It's so weird because all the Photoshop edits of him in a Coyotes jersey, it suits him. It won't happen, but it suits him.
I used to like believe it when he first came in, and then the Coyotes just kept doing their thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I 100% thought it was going to happen. And then there's no chance like Matthews, that big time player, is going to go play at a college.
No, there's no way.
If their fucking team was half decent at just being an NHL team.
If they just continued what they were doing in the COVID year, like the bubble year, when they had a really great start, acquired Taylor Hall, and then kind of just tanked and then lost in the qualifying round and stuff. Like if they'd have continued that momentum, I think there'd be more of a narrative here because they'd probably have a rink. But
if they didn't get kicked out of their rink, this is
even they paid the electricity.
But then the John Chayka stuff happened, the draft pick stuff happened.
The racist kid they drafted.
Yeah, it's just a mess.
Keller's fault. No, that wasn't
was it a racist kid? It was a kid
who bullied him. And called like a black handicapped person like the N-word a bunch.
Oh, okay. So I didn't know it was that. I thought it was just like I thought it was like a bullying situation.
Yeah, but it was like aggressively racial.
Okay. Okay. Sort of to wrap up the pod, going into the playoffs, a lot of people are talking about how it's sort of their favorite time of year with the first round because of all the different series. What's your guys' favorite round in the playoffs?
The finals.
Is it?
Yeah.
Ryan?
See, I wanted to go straight to the finals too, just because like the stakes are so high and I always tune in for every single game of the finals.
I watch every minute for it. I think that kind of makes a difference. You see every small little thing. Like I remember the Pittsburgh San Jose series, like Martin Jones was stealing the show. Like it was kind of just a ridiculous back and forth between him just holding the net down.
I probably should have given you guys a heads up because I was gonna ask this, but I was kind of planning to wrap up the pod with this just because like I have an answer, so I just wanted
to change it up. I think I will go with the first round because there's like the excitement for at least the first couple days for me anyways I feel like is unmatched. Like I sat on my couch and I watched, like it fades off a little bit obviously near the middle and maybe end of round, but like I sat on my couch and I watched every single game for the first like 3 or 4 nights. I don't know. Something about that excitement of it all starting is a lot of fun.
So I get the Stanley Cup final pick. For me, I hate when there's not a game on in the playoffs. Like once it hits the final, that's almost when I'm just like, okay, now it's like, I just want the playoffs. I don't want to say I want them to be done, but once you get to that Stanley Cup final and there's only one game every 2 days, it's like, this kind of sucks. The games themselves are obviously awesome, but the amount of time it takes for each game to occur, like the gap between each game kind of is just feels like a lull. And then the first round, I almost find the first round to be a bit overwhelming because there are so many games. So it's kind of hard to lock in on a series without ignoring other series. So the reason I asked was because I think my favorite part of the playoffs is the second round because there's two games every night. Lock it in. You can focus on, you can actually watch every game and not miss like two periods of a game if you choose to watch a different game. And it's now like all these teams are actually elite, like Nashville, LA, Dallas, like those aren't elite teams. I get that they gave Calgary and Edmonton a run for their money, but they're just not entertaining or really great teams for that matter. So my favorite is the second round. That's just kind of why I was asking. I just wanted to see your guys' opinion on that. Cool. You guys have anything else?
I love how you explained how questions work.
What?
You just like went in depth on how asking a question works.
What do you mean?
Like, I just wanted to like get your opinion. So then I said it and then I got your opinion.
Oh, I didn't even realize I said that. Do you guys have anything else wrapped up? Like before we started the pod, I know, Jack, you mentioned that you had a couple of topics lined up. We've still got a bunch of time.
I feel like we're pretty long, though, combining the two.
Well, yeah, that's usually what we do anyway, though. So, like, I'm good to wrap it up. I'm just wondering if you had anything small that you wanted to add, because you said you had a few topics.
Let me check if any are
quick. Tell us your topics, and we'll decide if we want to keep going, and if not, we can save them.
I've got a little bit of Sens Homer news.
Okay.
News from Gord Wilson out of the World Championships is that the injury to Tim Stützle does not appear to be serious as feared. He'll be reevaluated over the next couple of days.
It's good.
It's good to hear. Amputate the leg.
Okay, Jack, what did you have?
So Lambert's in as the head coach for the Islanders. DeVore's out in Vegas. I already mentioned Tristan Jarry played with a broken foot. Dumba had a bad list of injuries. He had like a punctured lung.
Yeah.
And then Wallstedt and Askarov signed ELCs.
Okay, let's do coaching stuff later. I think a lot of the coaching stuff is going to happen after the playoffs are done. That's usually how it goes. And then, what was the other thing? Oh, the injuries. I think it'd be cool to sort of run through all the different, because after the playoffs are done, like as more teams get eliminated, and especially deep in the playoffs, you hear these like insane lists of injuries. It'd be kind of fun, I think, to actually give some time to that and not just squeeze it in at the end. And
I've got a crazy idea.
Okay.
What if we just read it as a list?
Just tell people the injuries that happened.
But like go up, be like, yeah, this guy played with a broken arm. One time I hurt my arm.
Yeah, no. Okay, so maybe we won't end up doing that. That could end up being a pretty boring segment. All right, I think that's good for this pod. Again, unless you're like have a hankering to talk about Jesper Wallstedt, I think we're good.
I mean, I like talking about goalies, but it's fine.
Yeah, we'll wrap it up. Ryan, you good?
Yeah, hit the intro.
All right, that'll do it for episode 14. And we'll reconvene for episode 15 next week.